In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the calendar of the Roman Church, we commemorate today Saint Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, who was a good friend of Jesus and who was raised from the dead by him. But today we also commemorate a holy widow named Saint Olympias. She was a heroic woman who oftentimes suffered from severe sicknesses, but who carried them with patience. Her spiritual father, Saint Chrysostom, told her to always rejoice in her sicknesses, which she did, and faithfully placed among her most precious crowns, in this way imitating Saint Lazarus. Saint Olympias was a true noble lady from Constantinople, with a plenty of fortune and riches. She was born in the year 368 and left an orphan at early age. From the example of her pious relatives and guardians, she raised herself to imitate Christ in her life. Olympias, besides her birth and fortune, was moreover possessed of all the virtues and abilities which made her appearing to everyone a model of Christian perfection. She was very young when she married a man named Nebridius, who was a treasurer of the Emperor Theodosius the Great and the prefect of Constantinople. But Nebridius died within only 20 days after their marriage. The emperor was very pressing with Saint Olympias to accept a new husband, but she declared her resolution to remain unmarried for the rest of her days. Because of her resolution, she was hindered from seeing the bishops or going to church, hoping thus to tire her into a new marriage. Finally, the emperor gave in and granted her her freedom when she was 23 years old. This young widow now embraced a life of penance and prayer. She tormented her body with austere fasts, and she never ate meat. Long watchings became to her as natural as much sleep is to others. By meekness and humility, she seemed to be crucified to her own will, as well as to all sentiments of vanity which had no place in her heart. Her dress was modest, her furniture poor, her prayers fervent, and her charities without bounds. These virtues of her, Saint John Chrysostom compared to a river which is open to all and diffuses its waters to the bounds of the earth. The most distant towns and places received plentiful supplies by Saint Olympias' almsgiving, and she made donations even upon the very remote and destitute churches. For her riches indeed were almost immense, and her mortified life afforded her an opportunity of consecrating them all to God. The devil assailed her by many trials, which God permitted for the exercise and perfecting of her virtue. But, as was God's plan, the difficulties of the world served only to increase her meekness, humility, and patience, and, with her merits, to multiply her crowns. Frequent severe sicknesses, most outrageous slanders and unjust persecutions succeeded one another in her life. Saint John Chrysostom, in one of his letters, writes to Saint Olympias as follows: "You have been perpetually overwhelmed with slanders, insults, and injuries. Never have you been free from some new tribulation. Torrents of tears have always been familiar to you. Among all these, one single affliction is enough to fill your soul with spiritual riches." After Saint Chrysostom was unjustly banished by the Byzantine court, Saint Olympias had a great share in the persecution in which all the friends of Saint Chrysostom were involved. She was summoned before Optatus, the prefect of the city, who was a pagan. She justified herself as to the calumnies which were shamelessly alleged in court against her. But she also assured the governor that nothing would make her to hold communion with the schismatical usurper of St. John Chrysostom's see of Constantinople. She was then dismissed for that time and was visited with a grievous sickness which afflicted her the whole winter. In spring, she was commanded by the court to leave Constantinople, and she wandered from place to place. All her goods were sold by a public auction. She was often dragged before public tribunals. Her clothes were torn by the soldiers, and she was insulted by her own servants and even those who had received from her hands the greatest favors. She was only 40 years old when she died, but her fame had grown so great that her body was carried back to Constantinople, and many parents named their daughters Olympias in order to gain her heavenly protection as a model for Christian charity and humility for their children. Saint Olympias is also a great example to all those who faithfully give their time and effort to help the Church. So great was her zeal for Church's needs that she was created a deaconess to serve the Church of Constantinople in certain functions of the ministry, one of which was preparing linen for the altars. A vow of perpetual chastity was always annexed to the state of deaconess, and Saint Olympias was made the abbess of a monastery which she founded near the great church. There they helped the church and priests in their daily needs. Even in our days, remember, children, that keeping our church and altars in this great beauty and splendor demands lots of work. So remember often the heroic example of Saint Olympias in her work of supporting the Church, and remember with kindness and charity, and most especially with your prayers and thanks, all those who, with their work, support our Saint Gertrude the Great Church today. Your teachers, our sacristans, our cooks, our cleaners, our constructors, and all those who in their charity follow today the example of Saint Olympias and who work tirelessly for the greater glory of God, in confidence to the everlasting life he has promised. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.